a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hello, I'm Pastor Loretta Petit, host of The Loretta Petit Show, Women Winning at Life from Ministry to Marketplace. I'm a preacher, teacher, and soul reacher. I am a veteran broadcaster as well as an author. Listen, our broadcast, this podcast, it is about you and me as Christian women, how to rise above, to live, laugh, love, and live our best life. It's inspirational, educational, and relational. Tap a sister, tell her, tune in. You guys lock it in Thursdays from 5:30 until 6 Central Time. That's 5:30 until 6 p.m. only on Elation Radio.
I don't want to pretend, I don't want to play games, can't lie to myself, not one more day, been trying to deal with some things that hard to talk about, I'm going through some changes and I'm having my doubts, been there for everyone else, now I'm going through. The problem tonight, just gonna have to get used to me not being around.
I'm not doing fine.
So
many things going on
in my life. I'm not doing fine.
So many things going on.
Not today, no.
And now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Unfortunately, stress and anxiety often accompany discussions about our finances, but we must remember that God is sovereign over everything. There is nothing too difficult for Him. If you are feeling anxiety over your finances, then you probably have not truly given the situation over to God. If you are experiencing constant financial anxiety, I recommend that you, number one, make sure you are tithing faithfully. Regardless of your challenges, it is important that you honor God with your first fruits. If you have not been tithing in the past, beginning by at least being consistent and giving a portion back to God so until you gradually get to the 10% is truly extremely important. Number two, pray. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God doesn't want us to carry stress and anxiety, and He has offered the solution for your anxiety. You just have to go to Him in prayer and allow Him to give you peace in the midst of the storm. Number three, meditate on God's Word. God's Word is filled with guidance on finances. In fact, as you read many of the parables that Jesus gave us in the Gospels, you will note that many of them actually provide guidance as to how to handle our finances. As you meditate on His Word, ask the Lord to help you make the changes necessary to come in full alignment with His will with respect to your finances. Number four, develop a budget which allows you to pay down your debts. This may require that you speak with your creditors to develop a payment plan which will work within your budget. Remember, ultimately, creditors want to be paid. They don't want to send you to collections. They simply want to collect what is owed to them. And in negotiation, you may find they may even be willing to accept a lower amount. While we may be tempted to ignore the voicemails from collectors, that is the worst mistake you can make. While you ignore them, hoping the problem will magically disappear, they will become convinced that you have no intention of paying your obligation. God does expect us to pay our debts, so we must proactively seek to resolve them. And number five, you must remain faithful and patient. Remember to praise God throughout your difficulty and know that He will bring you through. God will reward your faithfulness. And Romans chapter 8, verse 6, God has promised His peace when we are directed by His Spirit. It may take some time to get completely back on track, but you will have a peace within that only God can provide because He will be guiding you through your financial difficulties. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by the Pastor's Corner, and it's Ladies' Night, so stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor, and here's this week's gospel news. Gospel singer and songwriter Damon Little began his singing ministry at the age of five. He and his brothers formed the family group. His first studio recording was with his uncle, the great Clarence Fountain of the Five Blind Boys of Alabama. Born in Baltimore, Maryland, Damon Little spent a portion of his childhood years in Pensacola, Florida. Damon Little's music ministry has taken him to Mexico, Jamaica, Dominican Republic, the Bahamas, the Cayman Islands, and many other places, as well as him being featured on TV One, BET, TVN, and The Word Network. Damon Little signed with Houston, Texas label Worldwide Gospel in 2000 and began producing a string of gospel chart hits, including the title track from his album, You Can't Straddle the Fence, Long As I Got Shoes, and Do Right, How You Gonna Do Right with a Do Wrong Mind. Patrick Dwayne Dobson, born August 24, 1978, he began his singing career in 2012 with the release of the song Open the Heavens. This album was his Billboard release. The song Keep Me was placed on the Wild Gospel 2013 project, Open Heavens, released on May 1st. This was his breakthrough release on the Gospel Albums charts at number 23, the Heat Seeker Albums at number 46, and the song Keep Me, it also placed at number 7 on the Hot Gospel Songs charts. In July of 2019, he became the Associate Pastor of the Worship of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship Church in Dallas, Texas, under Pastor and Founder Tony Evans. Is it true that your race plays a role in your health challenges, that you could possibly be prone to certain illnesses and you're likely to die from them? Well, cultural, economic, and social factors can also influence health and health outcomes. For African Americans, the good news is that we're living longer as a group. During the first 15 years of the century, the death rate among African Americans declined by 25%. Here's a look at the top 8 health concerns for African Americans. Number 8, asthma is more prevalent among Black adults and children. African Americans with asthma are more likely to visit the emergency room and be admitted to the hospital. Number 7, chronic liver disease. 6, cancer. Number 5, stroke is another condition that intertwines with heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, and obesity. Number 4, diabetes. Did you know that diabetes is 60% more common among African Americans compared to other groups? We are also more likely to have serious complications from it, including end-stage kidney disease and limb amputation. Number 3, obesity. In the United States, African Americans have the highest rate of being overweight or obese. Among Black adults, 63% of men and 77% of women are either overweight or obese. This extra weight contributes to the risk factors of high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and diabetes. And all these conditions increase the likelihood of heart disease. Number 2, high blood pressure. High blood pressure is a risk factor for heart disease. High blood pressure tends to develop earlier, be more severe, and is less likely to be controlled in African Americans. Number 1 is heart disease. It remains the number one killer of all Americans, so it's not surprising that it's the leading cause of death in African Americans. However, African Americans are 20% more likely to die from heart disease compared to other groups. Knowing your risk of these conditions can help you to make positive changes to take control of your health. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, Jonathan Nelson, Manifest. Number 9, Mr. Talk Box featuring J-Ma and Little Byron, Never Leave You. 8, Melvin Crispell III, Wonderful Is Your Name. Number 7, P.J. Morton featuring J-Ma with Repay You. Number 6, Jermaine Dolley, I'll Go. 5, Todd Delaney, Revelation 4. 4, Jason Nelson, Residue. 3, Damon Little, Stand Up. Number 2, Kiara Sheard featuring Karen Clark Sheard, Something Has to Break. Number 1, now for 3 weeks, comes from Tamela Mann with Help Me. Well, that's your top 10 gospel songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor, reminding you to connect with me on all social media outlets. You can find all my outlets on my website at msninataylor.com. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
Well, welcome to The Pastor's Corner. I'm not Ernest, Elder Ernest Richard. I just want to thank you so much for coming on, and I'm going to say it is ladies' night, and before we begin this wonderful, wonderful discussion on mental health, I would like to say hello to the fellas. And, you know, Apostle Irvin Whitlow and Apostle Smith, you guys are welcome to take part on this wonderful bread, because I really believe mental health is not just a woman issue, it's a church issue. So you're welcome to participate if you are willing, and I would love for you to say hi. But before we begin, I would like to say thank you so much, First Lady, for that wonderful financial moment, and for Nina Taylor for bringing in the wonderful news for the week. And I am not Ernest Richard, and he may be on later, but I just want to thank him for giving us the opportunity to celebrate women. Yay! This is the day that the Lord has made, and we want to rejoice and be glad in it. How you both are doing? You both okay? Apostle Urban Whitlow and Apostle Smith, you guys good? Okay.
Shabba.
They must. Shabba. You guys are amazing. But you're welcome to participate on this wonderful discussion. And before we begin, I'm going to bring in the ladies. We have, on the way from Houston, we have my sister, Trinace Carter. How you doing, my sister?
I am good. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. And from the Midwest, it's the best. For Indianapolis, we have Pastor Henderson. How you doing?
Hello, sis. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I am so glad to be on with you tonight and looking forward to the discussion. In Jesus' name.
It's going to be amazing. I thank you so much for this. Yes. And we also have Pastor Michelle Wright on. How you doing, my sister?
I am excited to be here. Let you all very much. God bless you to everyone.
Amen. And we got to bring on First Lady. She's so amazing. We're talking about First Lady. Sharon Richard, and she is now pastor. Well, you know. How you doing?
I don't think I quite read that yet, but praise the Lord. It's so good to see you with you this evening.
Well, I want to bring in the men because I really believe this is a really good discussion for both men and women, and we're just going to facilitate it because they always allow us to be on their podcast. So, Apostle Urban Whitlow, are you on today to help us with this discussion on mental health as well? Or are you going to kick it out? I guess he's not on yet. He's muted. So, before we begin this wonderful discussion, and he talks about me, but before we begin, I would like for my friend, Pastor Michelle Wright, to prayer and... Also, Pastor Henderson, do you mind getting the scripture?
Amen.
And we'll start in that order.
Amen. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to come before your presence and for you to give us wisdom on the mental health that is going to be talked about tonight. We thank you for each person on the line, those that are listening in. We thank you for Kimmy Robinson and Elation Radio, Elder Richards, Elders Apostle Smith, and also Apostle Whitlow, and all of the women that are on tonight. We say thank you, God. We lift up Lady Sharon on tonight. We just ask that you have your divine will and way. Forgive us all of our sin, and we forgive others that we may be forgiven. Let your presence be felt, and let us be led by your spirit to do your will and work on tonight. Have your divine will and way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And our scripture reading tonight will be found out of Philippians, the fourth chapter, verses 6 and 7. And it reads as follows: Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus.
Amen. Oh, wow. Thank you so much, my sisters, for helping me with this. Mental illness has been really bothering me. I remember having a conversation with Renee a couple weeks ago. And then before that, I have a couple of friends who focus on mental illness because we sometimes tend to overlook, you know, mental illness in the church, in the body of Christ, as, you know, God would take care of it, just pray on it. But there are times that people are really suffering from mental illness. And you're seeing it in the news, how you see so much crime, you see so many unstable minds doing things that before thinking and causing them to really either be in jail or causing them to be behind bars. And I really think that mental illness should be really a priority, not only in our lives, but in an annual checkup. You know how sometimes we do a physical checkup? We should do mental illness checkup. And so I really believe that this campaign must continue on, because I really believe a mind is a terrible thing to waste. With that being said, I thank you, everyone, for giving me the opportunity. Thank you, Overseer, for this opportunity to give us a spot on your wonderful podcast. But I'm ready to dig in and just, you know, have a great discussion on mental illness. And I would like to first go around and ask questions, and we all participate and then, you know, feed off of each other. My first question is, and this is based on your experience, what is mental health to you? And I would like to first begin with Janice, and then Pastor Wright, and then Pastor Henderson, and then First Lady, and then Apostle Irvin Whitlow, if you're available, as well as Apostle Smith, in that order, please.
All right. Happy Thursday, everybody. We've come to the end
Happy
of the
Thursday.
Week, and we've made it safely.
Amen.
So, mental health to me is, because yesterday I had a day, and we can all have a day when we feel unsettled in our mind, unprepared, overwhelmed. So how we are mentally fit to deal with what we have to deal with during the day or throughout life struggles. With so much going on in the world is different now, like when I was younger or when any of us were younger. There was not social media. There weren't any cell phones. The news was just the local news, and the TV was not able. We didn't have access to 24-hour TV. And all of these things definitely impact our mental health, because when you're constantly looking at the news and looking at social media and inundated with these things, they can definitely impact how you think about things, how you feel about things, including how you think and feel about yourself.
Okay, I'm writing. I'm making some notes. Next person, please.
All righty. This is Pastor Michelle. I believe mental health is our thinking capacity to every situation in life and how we accept it, whether we think well of it, whether we think the opposite. The bottom line is trusting God. And I believe that because we have so much going on, we have the pandemic, we have family, we have, I believe we try to separate how we feel spiritually because of what's expected. But our mental health it's on the foundation of our beliefs. And I believe that what we're feeling and as we're going through, it doesn't exempt us from problems in this world. So it's our thinking capacity to every situation is what I believe mental health is.
Okay. Awesome. Okay.
Amen. Pastor Henderson, and in addition to all of that is, I totally agree with what has been said, and also it's how we relate to others and how we relate to God and our situations. It's a condition of how we handle our emotional well-being, and we have different conditions of depression or emotional disorders or different things on how we view our situation that causes anxiety, that causes depression, that causes our emotional state to be impaired or have that kind of disorder going on. And so it all goes back, and I agree with Pastor Michelle, right? It does affect how we believe, what our belief system is, how we do things, how we view our situations in light of God. So it all kind of has a combination of things that, is incorporated in our viewpoints on how we look at our life situations and our conditions and how we see that in light of ourselves, the conditions.
Okay. Awesome.
All right.
First lady.
Yeah. So I think of mental health pretty broadly because I think whereas we think of mental health, usually, you know, it's thought of more negatively. But truth of the matter is, no matter what, most of us have probably had some form of mental health episodes because I think it's about how we react to things, how we feel about things. So it can have, we can have kind of a mental health reaction that may not be positive because of our everyday life, just, you know, work, maybe work stress, it may be home stress, it may be family challenges. It could be really just about anything I think can bring it about, or could be a trigger that might, you know, kind of set you off. So I do think it's about how we respond and how we think about things. So it's both psychological. I think it's social. I think it really can cover the gamut in terms of how it touches each of our lives. So as hopefully, I think Pastor Henderson, you know, referenced in how we relate to God, and that is so important because when we learn to depend on Him, when we feel ourselves kind of building up anxiety and building up stress, or even something as simple as feeling uncomfortable walking outside the door, because some people don't even feel comfortable just even being in the presence of others. And COVID-19 has only elevated that whole thing where people in some cases are even afraid to go outside and to be around other people. So there's a host of things that can trigger it. We have to seek to be connected to God so that we can be stronger in our overall mental health well-being.
I love that. The man, you want to participate or any other, see other callers on, if you would like to take part of the bread, we're asking, what is mental health to you? Okay. Well, if you decide to come on, you're welcome. Oh, okay. Go, Apostle Smith.
Mental health is a thief. Mm-hmm. It is a thief, and it steals from your heart and your mind. It steals from the ability to be able to function with normality. It is a thief that comes and causes you to react to certain things a different way that everybody else is acting. And if we want to call it a spiritual deficiency, because I believe in the natural, it is an unbalance that we take on by allowing too much to come into our sphere. Because the Bible told us, do not think about tomorrow. And it also told us, be not overly charged with the cares of this life. And so I think that when we look at mental health, or really the imbalance of the mental, I really think it is because we have taken on too much at one time trying to function in this life.
I like that. That's awesome. Apostle Irvin Whitlow, do you have anything you would like to add?
Piggybacking off of Apostle Smith, I think he said it best, and my words are simply that mental illness is really a chemical imbalance, and a chemical imbalance comes because of the constant change of stages that people go through in life. And often, it is often in young people between the age of 13 and 19, for some reason, because of going through their puberty and their hormones are imbalanced, so it causes mental chemical imbalances. But because some people develop late, it happens for people, some people later. It is definitely a chemical imbalance.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. And when I think about Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, as I read, I'm reading from the King James Version. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Do you think that we lost that, some of us, in the body of Christ? And because now I want to address like issues in the body of Christ, because I find now that as I have, you know, continue on growing in grace and in the Lord, I see a lot of mental illness cases in the body of Christ, because a lot of believers believe that I'm just going to pray on it and don't sometimes think that they may need, you know, the counseling, because I really believe God still give us resources to use in spite of outside of his word, because if that was not the case, Jesus had 12 disciples for a reason. And he was telling us there are different ways of getting to the same answer. But it's not wrong. But I really believe in the Bible. I really believe in meditating. I believe in doing all of those things. But there are times where you may need a professional, a therapist, to help you. And so what is your take on what is why do we have so many cases of mental illness in the body of Christ? I'm going to start with Apostle Urban Whitlow, Apostle Smith, Pastor First Lady Sharon, Pastor Wright, Pastor Henderson, and then Trenace. The reason I want to do it in order, I want to give everyone an equal opportunity to speak, because I really believe that mental health is so important, because I'm just seeing so many people in the body of Christ like really unstable.
I think, Dr., that it's important that if we're going to deal with mental illness in the body of Christ or in the church itself, then it is no longer so much mental illness as a chemical imbalance, but it again goes back to something that Dr. Smith said. It is now more with demonic activity, because demons cause mental maladies. And so I think that when we look at the body of Christ standpoint, it's no longer just a mental issue, because there's no, if I'm wrong, forgive me, but if you're going to serve God, you're going to serve God in your right mind, and any other mind is an attack from the enemy, so it's not something that is chemically induced. Some people deal with different medications that may alter them, but if you're in the body of Christ, you're not being altered by some medication. You've got a demon. You need to be delivered. It is as simple as that. That is just Apostle Urban A. Whitlow. Please forgive me if somebody's offended by my thoughts, but that's where I'm at.
Okay.
Let me say, taking that statement a little further, that you must remember, I think I'm a little older than the rest of y'all, but you got to remember there was a time in the church when they going to things like the psychiatrist, the sociologist, and all of that. That was taboo in the church.
Right.
And even back then, a lot of people in the church needed some kind of mental help, some kind of mental challenge that would direct them in some of the things that they were going through. And what the church did was cover it up that, oh, they're just different. That's what the church did. They said, oh, they're just different. They'll be all right. We're just going to pray. When a lot of people needed a therapist. You know, I think about when I was a little boy, there was at least and things of that sort, the church at large, I'm not just talking about one denomination, the church at large was against that. I remember in the church, calling an ambulance to the church was taboo. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They believed mm-hmm. that if you prayed for people, God was going to come in and remove that heart attack. He was going to remove that illness, whatever the case may be. They didn't want you to call no ambulance. They didn't want nobody going to the therapist. And they found out some of the people died with mental illness. Now, you want to talk about mental health? I have to dig into mental illness because there are some people in the church have mental situations that need to be looked into, looked after, and we got to stop patting it on the back. Talking about you're going to be all right. No, you take your tail to a therapist and sit down and find out what is going on.
I concur because growing up, that was taboo in my church. So I guess we're from the same era. Oh, my goodness. Oh, this is so much needed. So anyone else have some input on that as well? Why do you?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what Apostle Smith just said. I do mm-hmm. think that is true. It definitely mm-hmm. has historically been something that's taboo, and in some places, I think some churches, it still is. And I also think, I'm going to kind of reference back a little bit to what Apostle Whitlow was saying as well, though, because I think the enemy has a way of also keeping us from truly embracing and truly loving on one another as we should. So he kind of works to distract and keep us from doing and keep it's us in a direction where we're avoiding the obvious that may be right there in front of us. And unfortunately, some of these things that we're seeing in the church also stem out of our communities, because we know in many of our communities it has been and continues to be taboo to go see a therapist. So one thing sort of just it kind of keeps permeating. And so to me, that's what the enemy will do. But I definitely agree that God definitely gives us counselors, gives us therapists for a reason. And yes, there does come a time when we need to, recognize that, I need to go see a therapist. And if you know someone that is in your church that you can tell needs that, to encourage them to do just that. And I just think we have a tendency to, really kind of in the midst of I'm going to call it doing church, we get so busy with church that we don't take the time to love one another as we should. And as a result, we're not as honest as we ought to be.
Now, you know what? You hit something, love. That love factor is definitely needed because it says in the word that if you have all these things, not love, everything else is in vain. All right. Oh, my mm-hmm. goodness. That's powerful. And taboo. And then we also talked about how if we keep our minds stay on Jesus, we can rebuke those demons. Wow. Great answers. Anyone else?
I just wanted to say this, Pastor Michelle. I really want us to also look at the fact that we were talking about how taboo it is and who needs a therapist and who. A person that has been raped or molested, and we say, oh, they're going to be fine. Just keep praying over them. There are things and certain things that affects the life of a person that has been abused or that has been hurt that goes way beyond. Not saying prayer isn't enough, but it goes way beyond that. And sometimes if we turn our heads to what's really going on, just like I know, and this is from something I personally know through a family experience, that someone that had been hurt had to go through counseling. the measure of their trauma had to be exposed to the fact that they would be able to deal with it. Because we look at, and I'm going to say it, we look at young women that are promiscuous and we're thinking, oh, they just hot, they just fast, they this, they that. Some people have been molested and hurt, and a sign of that on the other side is either they're frigid and they don't want anybody touching them, or they're the exact opposite. They want sex all the time. And so we have to understand that sometimes calling somebody fast instead of understanding what they've been through is another issue that we have. We can prejudge in the church, not knowing the history. Not to say that God can't heal or can't deliver, but there are things that have happened that have caused them to be that way. It makes me think of the scripture when I was praying about.
Hello? Hello?
I'm so sorry, my phone flipped. I just wanted to say, okay. I do apologize. It's John 18, and I'm sorry, 16 and 33, when he had reminded us, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And that's what I believe my sister was saying. And I agree that we definitely need to pray for demonic presence. I believe that we also have to understand and ask God for wisdom when it is something needed that is more. And to remember, no matter what it is, that the Bible tells us that Jesus has already overcome it. We're going to go through these things, but he's already overcome it, and for us to have peace. So I believe there is a balance and there is an opportunity for us to continue to pray and seek God's face on exactly what's needed in our lives or someone else's.
Amen. I really believe that your past has a lot to do with it, because sometimes it's not addressed and it's hush-hush in the family. And that tends to be another curse that is, you know, brought down from generations to generations to generations, and then is never dealt with. I really agree that that could be another factor of mental illness. And that could be a lot of reasons why the body of Christ tends to be off, because sometimes we don't address the issue. We always look at the surface, but we don't look at the core of the problem sometimes. Not everyone, but I have been around church where someone would just make a judgment about somebody based on what they look like or what they're doing, but they don't know their history. They don't know what they have gone through, and I really believe that plays a big factor. Trinace, what do you believe?
I think that plays a big factor. I totally agree. And I think there's so many misconceptions about mental health and in the church and in the world as well. And I think I want to kind of key in on something that First Lady has said too about love and transparency. And I think those are key points, you know, the love of God, so that when we really love like God loves, we'll be able to have that discerning so that we can know how to minister to one another in the body of Christ. And I think so much that, you know, not being in tune with each other the way we should, heart to heart, loving the way God wants us to love, with that godly love, sometimes we have a tendency to place blame. We have a tendency to categorize people, and I heard the word judgment, and not really understand the surface of what's going on. And also, I was thinking about the culture, you know, in the African-American culture, you know, so often, you know, in our culture, we don't really talk. You know, there's a lot of hidden underlying things that's there.
Come on.
That have come down from generation to generation. So all those things are hidden, and they're in there, and they're not able to release it. They're not able to be transparent, to be able to say, as Pastor Michelle Wright was saying, that some young ladies that have been raped, that have been molested, that had a lot of things that have happened, incest in the family, a whole lot of things go on. And so now they're acting out of all of these experiences that have happened, and there's no one there to minister to them. There's no one there to be able to be transparent enough to say, hey, I understand, you know, where you've been. You know, because a lot of times there are a lot of seniors that have gone through things, but they never share their story. they never able to share it in a way that can help somebody else and pull somebody else out of their situation. So we have these people that are going through situations and scenarios, and they're hurting. And the enemy uses that. He uses their hurt. He uses their disappointment. He uses all these experiences that causes negative reactions and causes them to have anxieties, causes them to be depressed, causes them to be isolated. And so the culture, you know, of not being transparent is really hurting hurting the body of Christ in so many ways. I was just thinking the other day about how when we came out, we had the mothers who would, you know, would have sit down and talk with the younger sisters. You know, the brothers would have someone that would talk with them, the younger ones that's coming in, those young ones that are being birthed in. You know, we don't really see that teaching like we used to see in the church, where they actually sat and let you talk, not just let them talk, but they would ask you to have, what do you feel about this? Tell me about what's going on. We don't have a lot of those talks where you're able to vent and share, and then they minister to you after, you know, after the conversation piece. And I think because of that, the enemy uses that. And, you know, and I was just thinking about someone who was talking to me one day, and they said, you know, they're dealing with, we talk about mental health and how we respond emotionally and to the well-being and how we handle stress. And there are a lot of people who just don't handle stress very well. And so they end up being depressed. They end up having anxiety and a lot of things that's carried out. But this person was concerned because they were telling me, you know, some of the things that they were going through, and they were saying, well, a lot of times I'm misunderstood because people think that mental health means that I'm possessed. Do you think that mental health, you know, being depressed, is that a demon? And so I think the misconception of mental health in the church, how we handle the emotional state, you know, versus being demonic. Now, I personally believe if you're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, you cannot be demonic. You have issues, but I don't believe that if you are spirit filled, that you can be filled with a demon at the same time, because both of them can't live in the same house. But I do believe that you can have issues that need to be addressed, that needs to be healed, that needs to be addressed spiritually with the word of God. We know that the enemy comes but to kill, steal, and destroy, that he brings oppression. He brings these things when there's a crack in your life, when there's a hole that he can come into. Right. He comes in to that area. But that's an area that needs to be ministered to. That's the area where prayer comes into place. That's the area where that person needs a deliverance. But that doesn't mean that they're necessarily filled with the devil.
Wow. All right, my Amen. Goodness. We got Renee. And then we also have, I think I hear Minister Henderson. Is that you? Or is that Chanel Robinson? Okay. Well, we're going to go with Renee, and then I'm going to bring on Elder afterwards.
Before you Renee, move on.
Uh-huh.
The thing is that we be careful, because we talk love and discernment. I hate to say it, but it is true that a Christian cannot be possessed by a devil, but definitely demonic activity can mess in a Christian's life. And we need to understand in the Christian church, difference between, I wouldn't say everything acting up is mental health, but we do need to distinguish between when somebody is dancing in the spirit and when something mental is going on.
Amen.
We as the people of God, sad to say, but we say go ahead to everything. And they dancing and bumping people and screaming and carrying on. That's not the spirit of God. And I'm not saying sometimes it's mental illness. Sometimes it is money for us that they've been fighting with in their dreams, in their daily walk. Sometimes people are seeing things in their home that they have not told anybody about. There was a lady one time had just about lost her mind because of demonic activity that was going on in the house. Was she mental? No. But if you look on her face, you can tell that she had been going through something. And then when she finally told it, we came and had prayer around the house. Saw her about 2 or 3 weeks later. You would have thought it was a whole other person. So I think discernment is really, really important when it comes to mental illness, so we can distinguish what is the activity and what is a mental case going on right before our eyes.
That's beautiful. I like that. Thank you so much, Apostle. Janice, do you have any addition that you like to? Because you really triggered this, too, because when I heard your topic on your podcast last time you did it on Elation, you talk about mental illness, and self-care is definitely important. So what do you have to say when I ask the question, why do we have so many cases of mental illness in the body of Christ?
I think shame and judgment comes into play. I don't have the title of minister. I don't know the Bible at a level that some of your the people on the panel. And I just kind of think of it as a lot of times we are ashamed to say, look, I can't pray this away. And people within the body of Christ will make you feel ashamed to say, I have an issue. I need to talk to a counselor. I might need to take some medication. Many times we don't even really have the understanding. You can't just love something away because you have to love yourself first. That's the key thing that a lot of times I think we miss. Yes, we should love, but how easy is it to love somebody else when you don't love yourself? It's a short sense of love because you can't give what you don't have. You can't even give what you don't understand to give.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, mental health is about taking care of you, because the thing about that is the better you take care of you, the better you can take care of everything that's connected to you, people, places, and things. And the better you can take care of God's business when you take care of you, if you just want to be real about it. And I have seen where pastors have killed themselves and been in depression. And it makes me wonder about why did it get so far? Were they ashamed? Did they not have anybody to talk to? Because people of the church, we don't support each other at the level that we should, because we go to church, and then when church is over, we don't reconnect with the body of Christ until we go back to the church. If you really be honest, generally speaking, all churches aren't like that. But we need to learn how to disconnect from TV, disconnect from social media, disconnect and reconnect with ourselves. Because once we reconnect with ourselves, reconnect with God, we can reconnect with the human experience, and ultimately reconnect with our spirit. But it all begins with self-care for us. If I feel like I am not going to work today, my emotions are not right today, I'm just going to call in. I really don't care about what my job has to say. And we have to get to that point to say, no, I don't care what my family needs today. I don't care what my job needs today. Mentally, I am not prepared to deal with whatever this thing is. And don't feel ashamed of it. We have to stop shaming each other for having a bad, it's more than a bad day. We have to stop saying it's okay to say mentally I'm unprepared. And when we can get to that point to say mentally I'm not prepared for this today, that's growth. And that's how we make our next step. Find somebody or discern somebody that you can, I can talk to this person. I can trust them. They can support me, and it's okay to have a day. And it's okay to have some days and recognize that you need help and get the help when you need it.
Amen. Beautiful.
Amen.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd like to share something with you in the panel. looking through some of my material, I have a deliverance manual. And mental illness is also affiliated with mental anguish. And this is what it says, and again, this is from a spiritual standpoint. It is a spirit that torments the mind until it establishes itself firmly in the mind as master and controller of the individual. Such a person receives whatever the spirit projects. The person becomes fearful and subject to the spirit because their inner resources have been subdued by that spirit. One of the spirits which brings mental illness is the schizophrenic personality, which is the operation of another personality. It is included with fear, torment, anxiety, worry, having been wounded, even broken. So when we look at these things, all of these things constitute what is mental illness. And unfortunately, it is mental illness that will even lead to mental delusion. And when you get to that point, it is easy for the enemy to bind your mind. That's
yes.
why he'll bind your He will blind your mind, control your mind, and then cause you to wander. And whenever you start wandering, you become a wanderer. And eventually, because of the mental illness, you become a vagabond. I just wanted to share that little piece.
Well, I think that was very important because you just said that your mind is important as well as the spiritual man, because if you're not careful and if you're not allowing God to be in the core of your life, it can affect your mental state. And I really believe that ultimately spiritual being is the ultimate things that we must continue on improving. And by doing that, we do that based on fasting, praying, reading, fellowshipping. And then that takes care of the mental man. But there are times where people aren't where we are yet. And that's why I really wanted to address this issue, because I'm seeing so many people who call themselves believers with mental illness. And so I'm just so grateful that we're talking about this wonderful topic, because I really do care about people's minds and how they are, you know, how they are healthy with that, because I really believe that physical and mental, I think you should have a physical and a mental examination each year. And I do incorporate mental illness in my activity because I know anything. I mean, I remember one time going through my divorce, I almost had a mental breakdown. And so had it not been for my mental counselor that I had, he's a Christian counselor, I don't know where I would be. And I'm a believer. And that time I've been in Christ for over 10 years. So there are times we do need to go see a counselor. With that being said, we do have Elder on. Elder, do you have any thing you would like to add about mental illness, and why do we have so many cases of mental illness in the body of Christ? Okay. He may be muted. How about you, Chanel? Do you have anything you would like to add? I have one final question after that.
I think, because, again, like a lot of people said, it was it's fear and it's shame, but also it's not just in the body of Christ. It's all over. And sometimes it is because of anguish, but a lot of times it's it's due to a chemical imbalance. A lot of people don't know they have chemical imbalances. And because of that, and because they don't go to the doctor, because they don't go get physical checkups, mental checkups, they're not going to know. Because sometimes people have episodes when they don't eat or they eat the wrong thing. And until you know these things, or you know these things about themselves, then they're going to continue to have them. I have seen where people, you want to call it people's sugar get low, or a lot of times when people are having an episode, the first thing that, you know, when they come into your presence is, I'm like, have you eaten something today? Because a lot of times you can calm a person down when you get something in their stomach, something to drink, because they don't know that chemical imbalance is going on. It ain't all about just medicine. Sometimes it's the food that we eat.
I agree. And so I really believe that's why I really believe that God said in the word that your diet plays a part of your mental state, your physical state, and your well-being. And I really believe that the mind is a terrible thing to waste, the spiritual being, and as well as the physical body. But we must have a spiritual relationship with the Lord, because I really believe, I'm going to be honest, I may be wrong, but I really believe when you are more focused on the spiritual things of God versus the things of the world, and I understand people say you still need a therapist, but overall, I really think you have a very well mental health, because how can you go wrong when God is on your side? How? How can you go wrong? So with that being said, my last question for tonight is, what are some of your activities that you do to maintain a good mind? And I'm going to start with the fellas, and then I'm going to move to Pastor Wright, and then First Lady, and then Pastor Henderson, then Chanel, and then we can concur. Because I really believe that activities help. I know for me, I like to sing. I like to sing the gospel. I like to dance. I like to fellowship with you all. I just like to be around people, because we do need to maintain it. It's not going to just be a mind where you don't have to do anything to maintain it. And I really believe in feeding myself with the word, focus on the word, and focus on the Lord. I mean, I really believe looking at the good side of things. Of course, things comes to, you know, you're going to have trials and tribulations with God or without God. But I still believe that if we continue on focusing on the Lord, that we can overcome what we're going through with his help. And so that is my question. What are some of the activities that you do to maintain a good mind?
I think that it depends on the individual. For some people need stress relievers. So for one individual, it may be a good masseuse, good massage therapy. For another individual, it may be sitting, it may be going to maybe bowl, or going for a good walk, or going near the water. There are different things for different individuals. But I think that, you know, but more than any of that, I think it goes back to this scripture that you have to give everything to the Lord in prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving. You got to make your request known to him and have him to remove your anxiety. There is a scripture that says, casting all your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. And so often, I remember, and I shared this story, and I'm going to make it really brief, that when I was a kid, my father, and also the Boys and Girls Club would take me fishing. And I'm not a, I don't like fishing. I just don't like, you know, little bugs and things crawling around me. I'm very particular, you know, I'm very particular about that stuff. I just don't like it. Anyway, so I remember I would pick up a little pebble. One of the things I love to do with that pebble is skip it across the water. But certain pebbles were too big to skip. So what it would do is you would, you know, I would toss it, and it would get to a point where I could pick it up. But when I would toss it towards the water, it would get too far for me to go grab it. And so what we have to do is take those concerns as pebbles and toss it so far in God that we can't get it back. Because I believe that if we release it to God, we will release pressure, frustration, irritation, agitation, aggravation, and any other kind of action that may exist. That's just my thought. God bless you. Thanks for letting me talk.
That's awesome.
I'm thinking right now, about the person that kills 5 people and then they take them to court and they get off for being mentally insane. Now, true, is that not true? Because there are functioning mental cases and there are non-functioning mental cases. And when we look at it, if you ever pay attention to anybody that goes to jail or get a chance to speak on why they kill somebody, why they rape somebody, why they did whatever it was that was of a heinous act, they always make the statement, I heard voices telling me to do it. Let's go a little deeper. If we're talking about mental illness, is that mental or is that demonic?
Come on now.
Choose to say tonight that everything that is mental is not as mental as we think. Everything demonic is not what we think. Sometimes we think people are mentally imbalanced, and it is the spirit world taking charge and making a fool out of them for not serving the God that brings a balance into our lives. So to close tonight, I say this. By Jack Hayford, he said, you can't cast out the flesh, and you can't counsel a demon. The Lord bless you.
Amen. The Lord bless you.
How about Pastor Wright, and then we're going to go with First Lady, and then we're going to do Pastor Henderson, then Apostle Westbrook, and then Chanel.
Amen.
We'll go in that order.
Amen. And I was thinking about, you had stated, what type of things that we do. Well, one of the things that I love doing is being able to discern how to enjoy being with me and God and just enjoying that space. Because when you give so much to other people, you need that space for you in a healthy way, whether it's reading a book, a royal, I call it a royal bath, just to be able to unwind and to be able to do that. And also when it's time to be amongst others, to have people, you know, I think in ministry is so important. You're not on 24/7. I know we have the Lord 24/7, but there's a place and a time where you have to have a space for you to grow and be you with like-minded people. And that's so important because often we're just, you preaching, you're teaching a lot, but there's a point that God made you whole, and there's a part and a time for everything. And T.D. Jakes said this. He said, I don't always want to be around somebody who's expecting a word for me to prophesy. There's times I just want to have dinner with friends. There are times I want to just relax. And I think that balance of knowing how to do that is key for not only self-care, but it's key for your wholeness in life, period. And so I just believe we need to learn how to balance those things and understand which way to go.
Amen.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly with what my sister just said.
Yeah.
I mean, it is clear. I mean, even God said that sometimes you're supposed to rest. And I don't think in a lot of cases we do that very well. So making that time to just have that awesome bath, or taking that time, as even Apostle Whitlow said, because I'm a person that does love the ocean, taking that time to take a walk down, you know, in the neighborhood, whatever it is that does it for you, I think those are the things that we need to make sure we incorporate in our lives on a recurring basis. When too much time goes by, when you don't allow yourself that time of restoration, then that's when we put ourselves at risk of really truly not taking care of ourselves in a way that will honor God and truly be able to hear his voice and be able to have that strength to resist anything that the enemy may seek to do to take us away from that.
I love that. That is so important, to have that time to yourself. I really, oh my goodness, amazing. Wow. Pastor Henderson?
Amen. Amen. I was listening. I totally agree with all of that. I wasn't sure if it was my time or not. That's why I was paused. But
oh,
I was
so
on mute. Yes, I'm enjoying this discussion. And I was thinking, the scripture that Apostle Whitlow had quoted earlier was 1 Peter 5:7 about casting, you know, all your cares on him because he cares for you. And it goes right along with the scripture for tonight, which is a beautiful scripture about being careful for nothing, you know, giving everything to God. And I think that's so important that you do have that balance and you have that wind down time. And then you know, there's another scripture that says to, bring every thought, casting down, you know, every imagination, just, you know, bringing every thought captive, taking that thought captive, because, you know, the thoughts that go unexamined, they do cause harm. So sometimes in that time of your wind down time, you have to empty out all those negative thoughts in your day. You know, as we go through the day, we encounter so many different situations, so many concerns. You know, even in this pandemic, you know, what about this and this happens? And, you know, you have all these things that happen in a day's time, but you do need that time where you just, you know, you sit down and you relax and you empty out those negative things. And you know, in the scripture tonight, in that last, that verse 8, it talks about the things that think on, those things that are good and are honest and things that are just and things that are pure. You want to think on those things. And so when I unwind, you know, I put on worship music and I just worship God and I just give God those cares for that day. You know, those things, I just cast it on hand and just say, Lord, you know all about this, and I'm just giving it to you. And I just go into that place of worship. I do also like going by the water. I love water. It's peaceful to me. I love to read, and I like writing. I like writing. And so sometimes you got to just find that thing that helps you to unwind. Of course, you know,
yes.
A lot of other things. But you got to find that thing that relaxes you and allows you to unwind. But I think also the emptying out of that day, because sometimes I think the weight of that day or even that month or just in life, you know, when you're carrying all those things and you never empty out, it becomes burden. And that's the cracks that the enemy gets in, and that's when you get that depression and oppression. So you have to be able to empty out. And I heard someone say, be able to have somebody that you can be yourself around, you know, that doesn't, it's not going to criticize if you say, hey, I just had a bad day today. You know, someone that, you know, that you can really just be yourself and can be transparent with. It helps you to empty yourself, empty, you know, whatever it is that you need to talk about, so you're not carrying the weight of that day. And so I think that's so important, just balance. I heard that's right, said it. That's so important. We just need that balance. You know, we can't always be on, you know, so high that we don't remember that we're just, that we have cares and we have concerns and we have burdens just like everyone else as believers. But we have to know how to balance it out and be able to vent. And so those are things that, you know, especially the word in worship. I mean, casting it on the Lord is the best thing to do in the word of God, because he tells us to cast our cares on him. And when you do that, just get into worship. And thing about it is, what I find is that when I give it to God, he gives me his peace. So it's like an even exchange. I give you my care, and you give me your peace. And he said that peace that he gives, not as the world gives it, but as he gives it unto us. And that peace will guard our hearts and our minds. And so I just thank God for that exchange. I just thank God for that exchange.
Amen. Pastor Westbrook? I'm sorry, Apostle Westbrook.
Amen.
Wow,
this is
that's amazing.
And can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me now? Amen. This conversation about mental illness is becoming more prevalent since COVID-19. And you know, that's a good thing that we are talking about it in the church. But to get back to your question and just listening to some of the ladies, amen, the women of God, this is so good, such a good discussion. For me, and if the subject is self-care, amen, a perfect example that I try to follow is Jesus. Mm-hmm. He knew when to go away and to get from amongst the crowds and to even be away from his disciples for days or for hours, amen. But he knew when he had to go away. And he took time away from people where he could be restored, where he could be revived, renewed, where he could find balance, amen, where he could receive answers, glory to God. And I just love the idea of that example, because when I follow that example, I find, and the woman of God, I find it when, like Psalms 91 tells me, that he who abides in the secret place, we find rest there, we find peace there. And that has been my example. I mean, God gives his people peace. Amen. He said he is going to give you peace from all your enemies. That's the word. And he said he would keep
that's
us
the
in
word.
Perfect peace. If trust in him, and if our thoughts, our mind is fixed on him. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So in his presence, how can you bring all the drudge and the dreaders with you? You won't. In the time of worship, that's where I find it. Because sometimes people say it's a location. But what if you can't get to that location? So it's important that, you know, I have determined that where I am, I need to find in my spirit where that coming together, that tent of meetings that I have with the Holy Spirit. I have a secret place that I can go to and where I can find joy unspeakable, where I can find answers that need resolution, where I can find peace in the midst of chaos, where I can find a setting of my own spirit. Amen. When I'm going 100, when I need to dial back, glory to God. And it just seems that I'm arrested in the secret place, in his presence. I find the fullness of joy. I find a peace that is incomprehensible. I find a love when I'm feeling ugly one day or a week or whatever, when I'm not feeling like myself. And his word speaks so clearly to me in that secret place. So that would be my answer, women of God.
Amen. And last but not least, how about you, Sister Chanel? Thank you so much, Apostle Westbrook. That's beautiful. I really believe it's the location as well. You have to get by to yourself. I love my me. I love my me time.
Amen.
How about you, Chanel?
Amen. Amen. I would say that I concur with everything that everyone said on the line thus far. I can remember myself when I was younger. I actually had a mental breakdown. And I think the apostle said, yes, you do hear, you get to a place, you get to a dark place, you hear voices, but I think the difference between believers, or I should say real believers, because I had, even though I heard those I would say demonic thoughts, I still heard the Spirit of God, because he spoke to me and told me everything that I needed to do. He sent all the right people to me.
Amen.
That in my life when it was very dark. But he told me, but he also came to and told me that I was going through that so I could help so many others. And I believe,
yes,
and I know that that is what kept me going. Hallelujah. When he told me that his grace was sufficient. I couldn't do nothing else but just go through the valley so I could see the end of that tunnel.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Well, my sister, that is an awesome testimony, because I still believe that God allows us to go through things so that we can be a testimony and example for those who are going through the same test. And I thank you.
Absolutely.
For your transparency. Wow. Okay. Well, we are almost at the end of the wonderful podcast on mental illness. Before we leave, I would like for Apostle Smith to, you know, give the calling, and then Apostle Irvin Whitlow, do you mind praying us out? And I'm going to say, if any of the ladies, if you want to just chime in, and if you have any last words that you would like to say as it relates to mental illness, because I really believe, I'm just going to keep it 100. I really believe the reason why we see so much stuff in the church and in the world is because we have ignored mental illness. We band-aid it, a lot of us. We didn't really dealt with our mental state. And, you know, it's very embarrassing to be called crazy. So I was looking at that movie, Acrimony. I'm sure there are so many people like that in the church and in the world. But because they are so ashamed of the taboo, they don't get help. So I'm still praying for that, because I saw that movie and it's like, wow, God, you showed me so many different things that I didn't know that existed. I didn't know that there are people that have so many different. I know about bipolar, but she was beyond bipolar. If you ever saw that movie Acrimony by Tyler Perry, that movie was interesting. But with that being said, I'm going to pass it over so that we can close out, because I want to make sure First Lady gets her rest, and she's still on.
Okay.
Thank you, First Lady.
You know I'm hanging on.
This was awesome.
Bless her, Lord.
Right. My friend, my brother, my sister, little boy, little girl, want to say to you, even you preachers, you apostle, you bishop, the one that is prophetic, I want to say tonight, there is an answer to your weariness of mind. There is an answer to why you are off at times. I want you to hear me clearly, because I speak both to sinner and saint. It's been said tonight, but I want you to hear it very clearly. Some of you dealing with mental issues, it's because you have not rested your body properly. Your body will come back to its general senses if you would just stop doing so much and allow yourself all apart. Somebody else tonight, I want to tell you, I don't care if you've been raped, molested, fondled. I don't care what that situation may be. Your husband yells at you all the time. Somebody is abusive. Somebody is physical. I want you to understand there is an answer in Jesus Christ. If you are one that is demon-possessed, if you are demon trouble, if you have a devil on your back, we want you to be able to put that demonic force under your feet. Then, as it was said tonight, if you are in the dark place for the Lord's purpose, we want to pray that you endure till the end, that God shall give you the testimony that he has given unto our sister tonight. When it is dark, he'll bring you to the light and make you a great testimony unto everybody. To those of you that don't know Jesus, we offer you an opportunity to acknowledge right now, Lord, I need you. I'm tired of my sinful way. Lord, I want to be a believer in the cross, the shed blood. I want to be a believer in the resurrection. I want to be a believer that you died just for me. And that I want to confess you as my Lord and Savior and go into a covenant with you and say, I belong to Jesus and he belongs to me. Yes. If I'm talking to you tonight in any shape, form, or fashion, I want you to say, Lord, in this hour, to be totally free from the thing that is bothering my mind, help me to receive you, the great deliverer, not only from sickness, not only from disease, but you can touch my mind and bring it into wholeness. You can touch my soul, touch my spirit, man, and bring me into the kingdom. Now, Father, I thank you for saving me and making me new and making me whole. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Wow. And Apostle Irvin Whitlow, can you, before you pray us out, ladies, do you have any final thoughts before we end? You can all, we don't have to go in any particular order. I just want to say that mental illness is important, and I'm still remember the Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, and I really, now I can really marinate on that, because it is a terrible thing to waste, and so that's why it's important that you focus on those things that are true, good, honest, and true, which is of the Lord, and that would be my closing.
And then I want to say that this was a very great topic tonight, and I think it was something that needed to be talked about. And I think we could go on and on with this topic because it's so needful in such a time in which we're living in. So I'm grateful for this discussion tonight and so glad to be a part of it tonight. And I'd just like to say, let us all stay connected to each other in the body of Christ, because we all need each other. And this is a time to stay connected. This is a time to reach out. This is a time to let our light shine bright so somebody will see Jesus in us and we'll be able to be that helping hand to somebody to pull somebody out of the fire. So let us stay connected to each other, love one another, and let us be the church that God is calling for us to be in these last days, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I just wanted to say beautiful, everything tonight was so wonderful, and we give God glory. But I want to say that love is the key, and that as long as we love as Jesus loves, we'll see so many people healed and delivered through the love that he's shown us and the love that we give away. May God bless us all to love as Jesus loves, for him to build the kingdom that he may be filled. God bless you.
God bless you too, my sister. Anyone else?
Kim, this was such an interesting and needful discussion. I'm so glad you guys are tackling it, amen, because it's like the sacred cow that nobody wants to talk about. But I know that for a fact that there are so many great men and women of God in the Word that suffered, amen, I'm going to say it, dealt with deep feelings of despair, dealt with depression, amen, dealt with issues with anger. They had anger management, hallelujah, dealt with loneliness. So no one is perfect in the Word, amen, but there is one thing that is all of them, and that one thing was their trust in God, their love for God, and their belief that they knew that God was able to keep them, to care for them, and to carry them through whatever they were contending with. Because I know for a fact that the prophet Isaiah, amen, and so the prophet Elijah, he decided when God gave him a word, amen, told him, get out of that cave, what you staying there for? I mean, he got up, and he got up. So it's like when you get one word from God, I'm telling you, can break the darkness over our minds. Amen. Can bring life to the system. So I thank God for all tackling this topic, amen, that we know that while some of these things can be attributed to spiritual warfare, indeed it is, amen, but it can be of a physical nature. It can manifest in a physical nature. So God bless you, and thank you so much for letting us share this with you tonight.
Amen.
Before you go,
Apostle Smith,
we have a pastor.
Hello? You're breaking up, Apostle Smith.
He said to every pastor one time, make an appointment with a psychiatrist. He said, because pastoring by itself can mess with your mind. He said, because you're hearing everybody else's problem, but who's hearing yours? But he admonished us to go and sit on the couch and get some of this stuff out of us so we can go back and do a better job with our people.
Yes.
Amen.
That's beautiful.
Be accountable.
That's true.
For somebody.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else before Apostle Urban pray us out and close us out? Well, Apostle Urban Whitlow, is all in your hands.
All right. Well, again, thank you for letting us share tonight the platform with you. You know, I'm glad that tonight wasn't considered an intruder, but I was actually allowed to be a part of and as the co-host of the Pastor's Corner, I want to say to you, ladies, please keep on keeping on. You are doing a good job. It is not too often that I get on with you all, because I like y'all to have y'all time without interruptions. On behalf of just elect Pastor Richard, myself, and Apostle Benson L. Smith, y'all keep on keeping on. We're proud to have y'all on this time to share. Mm-hmm. I do believe that people's lives are being impacted. So again, thank you. And in case you didn't hit those two times, Duncan Sean, yeah, thank you. Okay, let us pray. Father, we just bless you and thank you for this time that you've allowed your women to share with us and allowing us, oh God, to be able to partake of what they have shared. I pray that someone's life has been impacted and changed for the better in the name of Jesus. We thank you that deliverance is available for the mentally or the mental illness, the mental anguish, the mental bondage, God, Lord, the mental delusion. We thank you that deliverance is available, oh God, because you've made it available and we receive it even by being transformed by the renewing of our mind even now. Bless each and every individual who participated. Keep them ever so close to the cross. I pray that you would do the supernatural in their life. I thank you for changing our status and flipping the script of the enemy. For this, we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Go with God, and he will go with you.
was created for. I was created for. Whoa. I was created for. No, I believe in God. I was created for. Whoa. Bless your name.